Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Watch Matt Bowen. Bowen's a tough guy.
Matt Bowen.
And it's intercepted by Matt Bowen.
Miller, ton of time. But the coverage is good with Matt Bowen.
7-year NFL veteran.
Blitz coming from Bowen, and he knocks it out. The Redskins fall on top of it.
Matt Bowen's been the guy applying all the pressure.
Coach for IC Catholic football.
Matt Bowen, a man from Glen Ellyn, Illinois. He's very active.
NFL writer and analyst for ESPN.
You want to see improved footwork and improved mechanics with Caleb Williams. You want to see better accuracy. You want to see better pocket poise at times that I thought declined in the second half. And if you see that, now you're talking about someone that's being coached. And that's the most important part of this entire discussion, is Caleb Williams being coached. And you're going to find out weeks 2, 3, and 4 if he is being coached, because you're going to see development. And it might be rapid development, because I think Ben Johnson is the right guy.
Matt Bowen.
I have a simple rule with beer. I only drink beer that you can buy in 30 packs. So that, I'll leave you with that.
With Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Matt Bowen getting ready to join us here on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. It is not lost on us that Matt's segment is sponsored by Great Clips. It's going to be great. And there are three guys here that all shave their heads because we don't have hair anymore.
Balds unite.
That's right. But shout out to Great Clips. We appreciate them regardless, because you might want to have a haircut. And you know that Great Clips is sponsoring Matt Bowen's segment.
I go to Great Clips because I get my hair buzzed. I don't go full bald and I don't do it myself. Usually my wife does it. But if I'm out on the road and I need a haircut, I'll go there, because I need more haircuts now than when I had hair. I need it once a week now, or it starts to look like a worn-out tennis ball up top, and I can't have that.
It's true.
When I had hair, I'd only get a haircut once a month. I'm all about it.
I know. I miss my hair, and I miss getting haircuts, but for me, it's just a razor at this point, and that takes care of everything. Matt, you understand what I'm talking about.
I do. I use a razor. I try to do it every day. Back in the day.
Every day.
I used to get my haircut at Busy Bee Barbershop in Glen Ellyn. From Norm, was still working there, but that's been a long time removed, boys. So... I've been shaving it since probably Green Bay. When I was playing in Green Bay, was where I started shaving my head.
Matt, do you grow a beard? I mean, you got to grow it where you can, I feel like. Do you ever do that?
I don't. No, I've never had a beard. Never have. No.
Are you not good at it, or is it just a style choice?
It's just a style choice, okay. I think. Right. I've never even tried to grow a beard. No.
Your brother has a pretty robust beard, if I remember right.
Yeah, he does at times, yeah. Yeah, he does. Yeah. But no, not me. I've never been... I've never even tried it. Maybe I will. You know, maybe I will sometime. Maybe that's an opportunity for me, Lawrence.
Hey, I did it last winter, and I think I'll do it again this winter, and I liked it. It really went into the professor vibe for me.
It looked good.
There's a lot of gray in there that I was not expecting when I grew it out for full. So that is not a lot of fun. But yeah, that's definitely something that I'll probably do again this winter. So Matt, where does one even start when trying to dissect what happened to the Bears on Sunday?
You have to start on the defensive side of the ball.
Now, Lawrence, a couple weeks ago, you and I were having a discussion on there. What you have to do on NFL Sundays to win, and breaking it down to a basic level from a defensive perspective, it's hit the quarterback, limit or take away explosive plays. The Bears didn't do that on Sunday. Jared Goff had clean throwing platforms. And when you give Goff clean throwing platforms, for him, it's like playing 7-on-7. Not enough pressure. And when Dennis Allen did dial up pressure, didn't get home. That's something that has to be discussed here. Because I think sometimes we look at pressures or blitzes or stunts and automatically assume it's going to be an open rush lane, right? No, that's not reality. You have to win a one-on-one. You have to beat the running back in protection. You have to beat a tight end if they keep him in to chip on the edge. You have to beat the offensive tackle. If you loop inside in the guard, you have to beat him. Didn't see enough of that. So what did that give? It gave Goff plenty of time to scan the field, to throw, more importantly, time for St. Brown and Jameson Williams to run away from coverage. Okay? I understand that Jalen Johnson's hurt, and he was out part of the football game. And it's a lot to ask Tyreek Stevenson to run 50 yards across the field to cover a deep over route. That is a long way to go. And eventually there's going to be some separation there. So that's the first thing, not enough pressure. Second thing is those explosive plays. Jared Goff had 5 throws of plus 20 yards. He had 4 throws of 30 or more yards. They also had 3 explosive play rushes. So you're talking about giving up 8 explosive plays. If you looked at nothing else in this football game and just watched the tape on those 8 plays, because if I'm a defense coordinator, if I'm Dennis Allen, on Monday morning, that's what I'm starting with in my team meeting. We're watching all 8 of those plays together, all of them. We're going to find out what went wrong, because you cannot win football games in that league when you give up big plays like that.
Matt, what do you think can change on the pass rush? Because unlike the offense where you have this potential for Caleb Williams to improve, I don't necessarily see that on the defensive line, because we know who all those guys are.
Well, you do. That's a good point, Jason. But I think a couple of different things. I've talked with Lawrence before about loaded fronts. When you overload one side of the defensive front, you kick a defensive end inside to get a matchup versus an offensive guard. You do more stunting. You do calculated pressure, more simulated pressure, where you're going to bring a linebacker but drop an end in the covers to protect yourself in the back end. There's different ways to try to scheme it, but Jason, ultimately comes down to a player like Montez Sweat being productive and winning his matchups and hitting the quarterback. And when you send linebackers, they get home, they can beat the running back in protection. You have to do those things, and right now the Bears are not getting it done.
With Jalen being injured and Kyler nowhere to be found, how and TJ Edwards now being injured again too, how differently might DA have to call this defense from what he was maybe expecting when he walked in the door?
A great question, Lawrence, because you do sometimes you have to protect yourself as a defensive play caller. If you are down in numbers, especially high profile talent like we just discussed there, those 3 names, you might have to be a little bit more zone heavy this week, especially against Dallas. I mean, do you think the Bears have the man matchups right now versus CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens? I do not. I do not see that. So you might be a little bit more zone heavy this week. Or if you do play man, it might be a little more 2-man with man underneath and safeties over the top. Because I think you can do that right now versus Dak. At this point in his career, Prescott is not looking to get out of the pocket at, an accelerated rate like he did younger in his career before the injuries. He's more of a pocket throw at this stage, so I think you can play a little bit more 2-man this week. That's one way you can protect yourself versus Dallas.
Matt, with Caleb Williams, how do we separate ongoing rookie mistakes versus issues that are a legitimate result of acclimating to a new offensive play caller in Ben Johnson? How do we separate the issues that we see into those categories?
Well, Jason, I'll start there with the interception he threw against Detroit. You can't have it. You just can't. You can't be rolling outside the pocket, and especially against Kirby Joseph. Know your personnel. Maybe the best range in the NFL over the top. You can't just float the ball down the field. Either take the sack or throw the football out of bounds, right? That's a teachable moment. But second year in the league, you still can't be talking about teachable moments. To your point, Jason, there are teachable moments within Ben Johnson's system for sure, making that transition. Lawrence and I discussed it last week. That there's going to be signs of development. It just depends on how long it's going to take within that system. But you're going to see issues that need to be corrected. And that's okay. As part of coaching, as part of developing a young player. But you can't have the situations where it's a second reaction play and you turn the football over. Or it's a second reaction play and you take a sack when you don't need to. Those are the things that need to be corrected immediately. But I will say this. If you watch week 1, especially the second half, versus this Detroit game. I know they didn't win the football game, but I thought the offense had moments when they played pretty well. And Caleb, in my opinion, Caleb Williams took a step this past week. Is it enough? That's up to Ben Johnson and his coaching staff. But he did take a step. They did play better football.
What were the things that you saw that felt better?
I think his ability to drive the ball and outbreaking routes from the pocket. You got to be able to do that. What they did, getting Rome loose at multiple levels of the field. Kind of an explosive play run. I thought Caleb looked more calm, more poised at time within the pocket. I thought his decision-making was better. And I thought he was aggressive when he needed to be. You know, the deep end breaker to the middle of the field, you know, attacking tight covers there. One thing I will say, and I looked this number up today, Lawrence. Colson Love on his run 37 routes in his first two football games. He has three total targets. Three. Not enough. Not enough for the number 10 pick in the draft. Because I'll tell you this. I went and watched the Colts tape from last week. And their tight end, Tyler Warren, went, what, number 14 overall.
A lot of people thought that he was going to be a Bear.
Yeah, I did too. And what they're doing from a scheme perspective is creating opportunities for him. Okay, whether it's play action, whether it's overload concepts to get him loose on a wheel route, releasing him through the line of scrimmage on play action. They're finding ways to get the football in his hands. He's been very productive over the first two games. Colson Loveland is not. And I watched his routes from Sunday. He had 19 routes. A lot of flats. A lot of combination routes of creating windows for other receivers. Not enough there, in my opinion, of scheming a player open or creating that isolation moment where he can beat coverage because he has the foot quickness to separate within the route tree. I just think there needs to be more there.
Matt, what about those first four picks in their draft? They don't need to have instant stardom, but you have Colson mm-hmm. Loveland, not really part of the offense. Luther Burden, not really part of the offense. And then you have Tripillo and Turner. The other second rounders, not suitable to play, just can't even dress them for a game. Well, how do you weigh that against some of the obvious roster needs that they had going into that draft?
It's a great question, Jason. And I would understand it if you have a sixth round or seventh round pick, undrafted free agent who's not dressed. That happens quite a bit. And usually that is the decision made on their ability to play special teams or not. But when you're talking about players, your top four picks, I expected more. I'll put it that way. I expected them to be dressed, to be contributing, especially Burton. And when you saw what he did in the preseason, I know he had an injury, but you look at his skill set and what he can do after the catch, someone he can scheme underneath, I thought we would see a lot more action from him early on as well.
I'm wondering, and we talked a little bit with Matt Forte about this too, that it seemed like Ben was indicating that or implying that maybe he's not getting what he needs from those young guys in practice.
Mm-hmm.
So you're a guy that played 7 years in the league. What are the things that have to happen for a player to impress in practice on game week?
The first thing, Lawrence, is alignment and assignment. You got to know it. You have to know it. That's just a cover charge to get in the uniform. Can you line up? Can you execute the call? Can you execute audibles? Can you execute motion as a wide receiver? As a wide receiver, can you convert routes versus single high and split safety coverage post snap? There's a lot of things that go into that, but those are the basics you got to have. You got to have those. And if that's one of the issues, then that's not good enough from their perspective. You have to be a professional. You have to be ready to play, and it's always alignment and assignment first. Second thing is being able to produce in practice, right? When you're going against the number two defense, you should be able to produce in practice. If you're not doing that, that's an issue that will keep you out of uniform as well. And the last thing, you know, for a guy like Burton, can he play on special teams? If he can't, well, then he has to be a really good receiver to get on the field.
And when you say impressing the coaching staff in practice, Lawrence, that's almost too strong of a word because it's really just you would be crazy to not see something in practice and then expect to see it in the game. Whether you're talking about Caleb Williams or Karan Amagaji last year or these rookies, you can't expect to see something different in a game than what you've been seeing in practice. You've got to show me you can do it.
There's part of me that likes it because it feels as if Ben is setting a standard. Like the idea of accountability and standard is being set. Well, you know, I can't take your money away, but I can take away you playing until you do what we are supposed to do.
I agree with that, Lawrence. I agree 100% that there needs to be a standard. There needs to be a bar set that you have to do X, Y, and Z to play on my football team. There's nothing wrong with doing that. And we don't talk about that enough in pro football, right? It's usually high school and college football. But Ben Johnson, based on what I hear and what I read and what I watch on TV when he's giving his press conference, it seems like someone who's trying to build a program. Another word we don't use enough in pro football. But there are programs. There's a program in Kansas City. There's a program in Philadelphia. When you look at teams like that, there's a program in Buffalo. A way they do certain things. You know, in the style of play they lean on. All those three teams do that. I think Ben Johnson wants to get to that point where you can hold people accountable to a certain degree and say, this is what you have to do to play in my football team.
Lawrence, when he says program, or maybe program, when he says program, that to me is a synonym for culture. When they talk about culture, it gets mixed up with, I think, what Matt Bowen is talking about program, where no matter who comes in, they operate the way the Ravens operate, or the Steelers, or the Seahawks. The Miami Heat are an example in basketball where you know whoever they draft or get is going to get with the program, like Matt's talking about, or they're going to be out of there.
Yeah, I agree, Jason. And it takes time to build that, right? To build your foundational pillars of what your program is. It takes time. And I think you're seeing that right now.
It's not a good time to deed time for the Bears because they're in year four of the rebuild, and it looks like they're about to burn year two of the rookie contract window, which people might not like hearing about that, but it's super important to try to get $60 million worth of production for $10 million at quarterback and be able to spend money elsewhere. I mean, it's really not a good time to need a ton of time. And I don't think Ben Johnson expected that it was going to be quite this much of a makeover when he took the job, thinking this should be a roster ready to compete.
Well, I agree with you, Jason. And this goes back to week one. That's why it was so important to close out and win that football game, right? Look, you go to Detroit, it's a tough place to play. It's a divisional game against a very good football team. And those are hard to win. So if you lose that football game, you're 1-1. Okay. A lot of teams are 1-1. 0-2 is much different. I've been in 0-2 football teams. It's hard to even walk in the facility. There's no one happy. There's no one smiling. It's a really tough place to be, and it's hard to get out of that hole. I'm not saying they can't do it. You have to start the win versus Dallas this week. But that's why it was so important in the second half of that Monday football game against Minnesota that they had to find a way to win the football game, to close it out, and they simply didn't do it on both sides of the ball and on special teams. Lost all three phases in the second half.
Absolutely.
And that's why you're sitting at, 0-2.
Yeah, you expect them to – lose that game. If you're going through, on the outside, you're marking that week two game at Detroit as a loss. Home against Minnesota, for one, you expect them to, that's not a team that's out of their league at all. That's a team they should be able to play with.
No.
And you can't be blowing offensively or defensively a 17-6 lead in the fourth quarter. With Caleb Williams, going back to him, Lawrence and I are on the same page here about our expectations that we are thinking him and Ben Johnson, that should be clicking around mid-season. And I want to know if you agree with that. And if you do, then what are the benchmarks before that, though? Because it can't just look bad all through the first half and then suddenly look great in week 9.
Right.
Like, how does it need to look in the meantime?
Well, I think you have to look at specific opponents, too. Dallas this week, a defense that, without Micah Parsons, lacks impact players. They just do. They don't have impact players in their football team right now on the defensive side of the ball. You saw it last week versus New York. This is a game where you should see a lot of offensive production from the Bears and Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson. You should. Based on what Dallas has put on tape so far, you should see production. So I would start there. The games you have an opportunity or an offensive advantage, you have to see growth and development at the quarterback position. You have to see production at the quarterback position. You need to see them protect the ball better. You need to see them win critical moments. Usually third down and in the red zone. You need to take those steps along the way until you get to a point where you believe that Caleb Williams, you're going to win football games because of Caleb Williams. And you hope that's by the middle of the season.
Matt, we know you got to get on the practice field. Go get him, coach.
All right, guys. Thank you. We'll talk soon.
Thank you, Matt.
That's Matt Bowen. By the way, I checked in on IC Catholic, which is where Matt coaches. And Matt's got a son on the team. And I saw his son play last year. I'm like, oh, because he's big like his dad. Like, he looks like an NFL body. And that young man was slicing through St. Ignatius's defense this past weekend. And I saw some video of it. That Bowen kid is a problem.
Okay.
He's a problem, and if people are going to come and get that young man to come do something, whether it's for him playing outside linebacker or him playing wide receiver. But he is a problem for folks, and I know that, that Matt is loving that part of it. By the way, I've known Matt a really long time, okay? I want you to listen back to that segment. That's as mad as he's ever been at a Bears team. Like, if you if you know him, you can hear it. You can hear the coach in him be offended by stuff that went on inside that game. So, like, if you jumped into the segment halfway, and Matt's not a yeller. Like, he's not a guy that's going to be banging the table. He's also a guy with a master's degree in English. That man knows how to drive a point home. So if it went over your head because you think he sounds like Doug Buffone, because he does. But if it went over your head, I want you to really listen to it, because Matt was upset about what the Bears did on Sunday, and it came through, at least for someone who knows him, it came through loud and clear that he was not happy with what he saw.
I could hear the word you used, which is offended. Not because he cares one way or the other. I don't know if he cares one way or the other how the Bears do, but just it's because he has standards.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
It's upsetting. We need to talk about, you know, how we started the show talking about the elevation of the conversation, where it's like, okay, this stuff is happening on the field. Are you guys examining why it's happening? Yeah, we are. And I think that this week and last week, it's justified to do so. In a lot of cases, I don't think it's justified. I think it's just something that people say. But let's talk about the general manager of this football team. Let's talk about his impact or lack of impact. We will do that next. Jason Leisure is sitting in for Spiegs. It's Spiegel and Holmes on the
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can, like, express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. We're about personalized style that fits your life. Made for real life moments. Maurice's.
Score.
Spiegel and Holmes show flashback. Flashback. Flashback.
And the last thing, the most important piece, is we're going to take the North and never give it back.
Hope is alive in Chicago.
Ordinarily, we would be doing a segment with Jason Leisure, but Speaks is out today, and Jason was going to come downtown anyway, so he's sitting in for Speaks, but his segment, yeah, you're here.
I just don't have my mic on, but I'm sponsored, baby.
You are sponsored by Busey Bank, building business, growing well since 1868, and by Plumbers 911. Plumbing emergency, call the plumbing professionals available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. The points that you made to Matt Bowen about the roster itself and the draft picks not being dressed, and it may be something that is a coach thing, of the coach not wanting players to play because they haven't quite earned the opportunity to play. That being said, second round picks are supposed to start. Like, they're supposed to start. That's the lifeblood of any football team, are second round picks. And for the Bears to now be in a position where one of your second round picks is a swing tackle that you don't think is good enough to play. He's not going to play right tackle because you theoretically have your right tackle for the next few years. He's probably not going to play left tackle because he's not good at it. You have a slot receiver that you couldn't figure out a way to use in the first couple of games of the season that shows potential, but they haven't been able to do it. And then you have a on a defense that struggles, what does it say that Shamar Turner can't get dressed for a game if that's the defensive line that you're putting out there?
Yeah, and just so you're hearing this, right, Lawrence and I aren't expecting any of these first four draft picks, first and second rounders, to be immediate all pros. But for second round picks to be unsuitable to play, that can't happen. That is such a big red flag. I think if you want to have the conversation about the roster problems here, there are many, and you want to get into Ryan Poles' decisions that have led to this, in the interest of fairness and objectivity, that's so boring, right? But it matters to me.
Matters to me too.
I know it does. I know. You have to start, before you start screaming, everybody, you have to start with the fact that Ryan Poles inherited an awful situation from Ryan Pace. A team that was stripped, that had so little talent. You remember when the Rams went all in and then went to the Super Bowl and won it?
Bleep them picks.
Yeah. The Bears did that to go 6-11 in 2021. So Ryan Poles takes over a team where, if I remember right, you're looking at that roster and you're saying there's maybe five guys you want to keep long-term off of this. And that shrunk very quickly when you have to trade Khalil Mack for draft picks. So deficient in talent, salary cap nightmare, and you have also compromised future draft capital. Ryan Poles in his first draft should have had, I think, the number five pick, and it ended up being the Giants pick as he's trying to start a rebuild. If that sounds familiar to you, it's kind of like the situation the Saints are in, where you would right now, where you'd sit there and say, this team might need to burn it down for 2 years to even have a chance to rebuild. So that's the starting point. That's what Ryan Poles had to fix, just to get level. And you get a 3-14 season to start the rebuild. But after that, I mean, they have not had a pass rush the entire time he's been here. And they're in year four. Dennis Allen is trying to solve the same problems that Matt Eberflus was trying to solve, of how do you win without a pass rush? And that is almost the equivalent of how do I win without a quarterback on offense? I mean, you just can't. It undercuts all the good work you've done in the second and third level, if you've done good work, with linebackers and secondary, when you don't have a pass rush up front. And I'm looking at this pass rush, Lawrence, and they have finally invested premium resources into it, but I don't know if they've invested it
In the right players.
You're looking at a starting defensive line that has Montez Sweat, $98 million deal, Grady Jarrett, $43 million deal, Dio Dengbo, $48 million deal, and then the fourth guy is a second-round pick, Javon Dexter. So those are all premium resources. That's what you'd want them to use to address a problem, but there was no pressure, no pass rush in that game against the Lions. And I know the Lions have a good offensive line, but most teams have a good offensive line.
I mean, they had to reconstitute their offensive line too.
The Bears have to get past this complex of looking at whoever is really good and be like, well, what can we do? Oh, we can't compete with Aaron Rodgers. We can't compete with Detroit's. No, those teams play in your league. You're not a 1AA school going to play Bama.
Roll Tide and High Tide.
You go through the rest of their defense, and you're looking at Tremaine Edmonds as their fourth highest paid player. And that was chosen as, I don't know about an upgrade, but at the time, but it was probably thought of by the Bears as a suitable replacement for Roquan Smith.
Yeah, and they thought they were going to get two linebackers for the price of one Roquan.
Mm-hmm.
And people know I was hot about that, and I still continue to be hot about that. Because all Roquan did was go get his money in Baltimore and be an all-pro.
We all hated that because there's times where, you know, the team knows more than you do about a guy. Roquan, we all saw. We all knew. There was no mystery about how good that guy was. And then a respected organization happily gave up draft capital and paid him exactly what he wanted. The Ravens don't make a lot of mistakes.
And they've been rewarded with a guy who's been an all-pro since he's been there.
And he's been phenomenal. You look at their secondary. I had thought for sure that corner, I mean, that is probably one of the biggest successes of the Ryan Poles era, is inheriting a team that had almost nothing at corner, and now, last year, had probably six starting caliber corners, in my opinion. You go into this year, they find Nashawn Wright, it looks like he's a starting caliber corner, and he did have the pick six in the first game. But, I mean, where was that? You would think that a group that deep could weather losing Jalen Johnson and Kyler Gordon a little better than that.
Well, those
are hard guys to replace. You don't have an equivalent of those guys. But now I'm looking at, I mean, do they have to play Kyler Gordon on the outside when he comes back? Can you trust Tyreek Stevenson at all? Josh Blackwell, who I thought was a starting caliber backup at nickel, is not maybe Dennis Allen's guy, and he's starting Nick McCloud. He's using Nick McCloud in that role. I mean, there's just question marks up and down the defense, and that is the biggest point I want to make on this, is that defense is no longer under construction. That is supposed to be a final product.
Well, now you take the injuries into account, where TJ Edwards is gone, Jalen Johnson is gone, and Kyler Gordon hasn't been available for them. I try not to blame the back four for the problems of the front four.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that when healthy, the Bears have a very elite back four. Them being not healthy right now is not great. But the fact that you're not getting pressure makes their job a lot harder. It makes them look worse than what? I was saying this to Spiegs a couple days ago, that when I look at Jervon Dexter, and I felt like on draft night, I was like, that's weird. A guy who's kind of a five technique, you're kind of asking him to play three technique, and he doesn't seem to fit what it is that you want to do. With great pass rushers, forget about what it is that how they go about getting to the quarterback. They get there. You see it. And you don't have to wait. And I feel like there's been a lot of turning your head sideways and squinting with Jervon Dexter for people to see what they want to see. And what I see is a guy that is clearly talented, but not to the point where he can be, he's not a force. And he needs to be a force. And by now, you should have seen it play out,
mm-hmm,
where he is a force.
In year three.
And he's not that. And I worry about all of this. All of this is us talking about the evaluation process of Ryan Poles and his entire staff and the choices that they make. And sometimes it's a matter of looking at, where are your deficiencies as a football team, and did you help them? The Bears clearly have a deficiency at running back, and it was not addressed. And I know that there are a lot of fans of Kyle Manungai, and I think in a vacuum, sure, it's a really interesting project. But this was a draft where there were quality running backs that were available before you got to the seventh round, and you didn't take them. And you didn't look, and then when free agency came back around, you didn't go out and look and say, well, is there anyone else that we can add that could just be competition? And now you look at the Bears running back room and go, it's one of the worst position groups in the NFL, is their running back room.
And your best running back, the guy at the top of that list, is a guy that I don't know if your head coach
likes him.
Really wants. I would say I don't think he would have chosen him. I think we know he wouldn't have chosen him because he was on Detroit's staff. He was the offensive coordinator when they traded DeAndre Swift for, I think, a fourth round pick. The Bears were saying after the draft, I mean, none of this, by the way, is revisionist history on my part, like going back and second guessing something that I thought all this was strange at the time with their draft. And it was clearly Ben Johnson asserting himself in the personnel department, going with a tight end at number 10 and a wide receiver with Luther Burden in the second round. The Bears were saying after, you know, there were running backs that they liked, and oh, just each time it was just, oh, they were just a couple of picks off. Somebody snatched the guy that they wanted before they had a chance. That didn't have to be that way if you genuinely prioritized it. If you went into your draft and said, hey, there are problems on this roster at left tackle, defensive end, and running back, you can take care of one of those off one of those line of scrimmage spots with the number 10 pick. And I think they probably would have if Calvin Banks had lasted another pick to them at 10. And then you can attack running back with one of those 3 second round picks. But when you go tight end 10 and then Luther Burden wide receiver with the next second round pick, and you've done nothing now at that point to do offensive tackle and defensive line, well, then that's what you end up spending those picks on instead of running back.
And the left tackle thing is an issue too. Like, you talk about this all the time, the concept of Bears good. Like, good enough for the Bears.
Braxton Jones, if you look it up in the dictionary, he's there. That's it.
He's Bears good.
He's Bears good. Awesome developmental story, really. You have that team in the position it was in 2022 to go find a guy in the fifth round out of Southern Utah, no less. I don't even know what their team name is. And develop him into a serviceable NFL player of any kind is a huge developmental win. It's not necessarily what is like a championship level or a contending level left tackle.
But even if you were going to, like, let's say that you had targeted Ozzie Trapillo, and it now makes me wonder, like, is this the Boston College connection all over again? And if you were going to target him, knowing that he played right tackle, and I've heard the story, and I think that it's great, him being a great teammate, he had to play right tackle because there was another guy that couldn't play right tackle. He could kind of only play left. Okay, great. You knew that it would be a project. And are you supposed to be drafting a project while you're out signing Joe Tooney?
Right.
I don't think
year four of a rebuild.
Right.
When you won 5 games last season.
I don't think those two decisions match up very well. When you say, well, here's a project. Well, what about left tackle? Well, we kind of have a guy that's okay, and maybe he'll be better because we're better, quote unquote, guard to guard. And Jonah Jackson's had a really rough first 2 games.
Yeah.
Really rough.
There was a lot of trust us on this.
Yep.
After Sean McVay said, talk about teams that know what they're doing. After Sean McVay said, okay, yeah.
Yeah, you got him. Yep. Yeah. We don't need him. We're going to go in a different direction.
And Ben Johnson had him in Detroit, and Ben Johnson comes in with ultimate credibility.
Didn't he have him at a different position, though, in Detroit?
Yeah. Here's how I...
That's what I'm saying. Like, what are we doing?
Here's how I evaluate the draft. If you're picking high first round, you're wanting those guys to be all pros. First round in general, you're looking for quality starters. Second round, you're looking for pretty good starters. When you get into third, fourth, and fifth, if you find guys that can play at all, I think that's good. And then sixth and seventh is our lottery tickets, basically.
And it just feels like to me that Ryan Poles revels in the, well, look at this guy that I happen to find in the fifth round or seventh round. Congratulations, man. You got a guy that ended up making a team. You also have a bunch of guys in the third round that haven't made a team. Can you just get the ones and the twos right? Could you, and an occasional three, can you get those right before you go patting yourself on the back for the deep dive that your scouting department did to find some random six rounder that ends up making your roster? It's frustrating. And it's frustrating when it plays out on Sundays the way that it does, where you go, these are guys that you were supposed to have faith in you drafting, and they can't even put their uniforms on in week two, which means, and if it is an issue of guys are not given what they need to give in practice, That means that your scouting department failed again. It means that you scouted guys that weren't coachable. If you're walking in and they're not good enough in practice to take jobs that are available, that yep. means your scouting department got it wrong.
If you draft someone in the second round or higher, you're expecting that person to be a day one starter.
Correct.
They should walk in and be a starter. So when they're drafting Ozzie Trapillo, they're thinking starting left tackle at that time. Now he can't beat out Braxton Jones or Theo Benedict,
which is
an undrafted player who played college football in Canada last year.
Which is
wild.
Or
2 years ago, rather. He was undrafted last year, spent the whole season on the practice squad. Ben Johnson trusts him more than the guy they spent a second round pick on, what, 6 months ago?
It's pretty crazy.
4 months ago?
It's depressing. We're going to take a break. When we come back, something fun that's going on in college football.
Less depression, more fun.
Yes, a little bit more fun next here on The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style. At Marisa's, we're here to help you show up feeling your best, no matter what's on your calendar. Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got style that fits your life and your budget. Visit your local Maurice's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Just to be clear, like, we love fun.
Afternoons on The Score.
I remember getting so high one night I was trying to sneak up on a mirror for like probably 2 hours.
That's good.
And I'll tell you this, dude, I got pretty close, man.
That's Theo Vaughn talking about stuff. He also talked about some other stuff, which we'll get to in a minute. We should remind you that next week we are taking the show out to Las Vegas, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas is the place to be. If you're a Chicago football fan, between September 26th and the 29th, you need to be out there. We're going to have fun. We're going to do a show Friday, an extended version of the show because it's after a Cubs game. So we're going to do 3 hours after the Cubs game. Then Saturday, we're going to do a show leading up to the Cubs game. And then Monday, we're going to break the game down with a show from Circa Las Vegas. It's going to be great. Melissa and Austin from US 99 are going to be out there too. It's going to be a good time. If you've not been, if you're thinking about going, no matter what's going on with the football team, you should go. This is going to be a fun trip.
Mitch told me I get to go.
he said, since you're going, it would be great for you to stop by Circa.
I like my interpretation better.
I like yours better, too, but I know that he can't afford it. So the fact that the Sun-Times is paying for you to go out there is great.
There's a little, I was texting with Weedsy after the show the other day. There's a little Bears rider contingent maybe that may be gathering at Stadium Swim, I think.
I like that idea. Yeah, well, we can definitely hook you up with that. Like, we got you taken care of on the Stadium Swim side. You can come hang out with us.
Consider my Speedo pecked. Wait a minute.
Don't do that.
Hold on. None of that phrasing sounded good at all.
No, it didn't sound very good at all. At all.
Next subject.
Okay, let's talk about Theo Von. Comedian, podcaster Theo Von has struck up a relationship with Diego Pavia, the quarterback at Vanderbilt, who I like to say is 195 pounds of courage. Like, that dude deserves Heisman votes. I don't care. I don't mean that he should win the Heisman. I just know that he has helped rebuild Vanderbilt football, which is wild because the last person to rebuild Vanderbilt football was Jay Cutler. Jay Cutler somehow on a 5-6 team, I believe, won SEC Offensive Player of the Year.
Hard to do.
Which is really crazy. And what Diego Pavia has done both at New Mexico State for Jerry Kill and now for the last 2 years at Vanderbilt is amazing. If you haven't watched him, you should. He struck up a friendship with Theo Von to the point now where Theo Von is trying to get at his mom a little bit.
Theo Von was at Nashville's stadium for the win against number one Alabama last year. That's the lone win against a ranked opponent for Vandy in its last 21 tries. But there was a shot of Cole Santa right next to Theo, and I was going to say two of the great podcasters in America. Yep. Yeah, there he is. There they are.
Together, getting millions of views every week.
Yes. You don't even want to know what he told me about Diego Pavia's mom either.
Like, I'm just, what?
That's not a bad. No, it's not like that. It's not bad at all.
Well, let's hear it.
Tell us.
The way that I understand this story is that maybe just give me a nod if this is okay. Diego Pavia wins this game. He promised you he would set you up with a date with his mom.
Yes.
Okay, there we go.
I'm a nurse, and I've always wanted to. My goal is I would like to marry a nurse one day, so that's why I think
smart.
Like, he was thinking about that, but I don't even know if I would do it. I don't know. I like being his friend. I don't want to end up being like his stepdad or something, you know?
That would be weird. I got it.
And we have run out of time in the third quarter. The podcast will have to continue later this week.
That's courtesy of SEC Network.
I was just thinking, somebody's about to get a new stepdad.
Hey, Paul Skeens is pitching tonight for Pittsburgh, right? Wasn't that kid that cried on TV saying that he needed Skeens to be his stepdad? Guy was pimping out his mom. Was it the Little League World Series or something like that? Skeens, I need you. My mom's single. That's a little bit weird for sure. Speaking of the Cubs and Paul Skeens, tonight's the Cubs take on the Pirates in Pittsburgh. Pregame is going to start at 5:05, which means we're going to be out of here. First pitch at 5:40 on the score on the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. So, yes, that's what was going on.
You can't do that on the broadcast. You can't be like, you wouldn't even believe what he told me about so-and-so's mom. Well, now you have to tell everybody.
Yes.
Right, that phrasing?
You have to say something because
whatever
at that
we're
point,
thinking is worse than whatever the truth is. You have to say it then.
You're 100% correct. You it's a trick bag. Like now, like you have to say something because you have to clear up whatever might be in the audience's mind on that bomb that you dropped.
Yeah.
So luckily they cleared it up and now Diego Pavia's mom has become very popular. A lot of people have been doing searches and being like, wait, why does Theo Von want to go out with Diego Pavia's mom? I don't think it has a lot to do with her being a nurse. I think she happens to be a very attractive woman. And he's like, oh, okay, got it. So
how close are they in age, Theo Von and
I think Theo Von's closer to my age than Pavia is.
Okay.
Pavia is what, like 23 or 24? Because he's had a weird kind of circuitous route.
Well, that's
to
not
Vanderbilt.
Weird anymore. That's one of the things as someone who doesn't really watch a ton of college football, but I watch some, and college basketball for that matter, is when they put up these guys' bios, it's like a resume now. It's like three different schools.
Well, for him, like, this is why I say it's weird, though. He was at the New Mexico Military Academy, then New Mexico State, and now Vanderbilt.
That's a progression that makes sense.
I guess. But he's an amazing player. I've seen him beat Auburn. I saw him beat Alabama. This guy is the goods, man.
Didn't they beat South Carolina?
Yeah. He's an incredible player. All right, we've got to go. Thanks to Alex. Thanks to Tanny. Thanks to Jason Leisure so much for filling in for Spiegs. Thank you so much for listening to the show. I don't have time to do the regular close. I'll just say Cubs baseball is next.
Not bad, kid. Where'd you get this?
I made it myself from a tree near home.
Wonder Boy. Put that on there? What does it mean?
I made it a long time ago when I was a kid. I wanted it to be a very special bat.
How about this lightning bolt?
The tree that I made it from was split open by lightning.
I don't figure this. All those years and you never played organized baseball?
Well, I sort of got sidetracked.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. P&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.